World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
But Lord, may we, the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today. You be glorified through all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Because hey, look, here's the truth. I was thinking about this before I came down here today. This is show. What show is this, Spencer? 2,163. That is pretty amazing. I wonder how many of you out there name something that you've done 2,163 times. I'm sure you can. I'm sure you could. But over a long period of time, it's really pretty amazing. And new day, same crap. I get kind of paranoid. Maybe that's not tonight, right thing. My wife is a great buffer to me, and she always says to me, you say the same thing every day. And I really do, don't I? I really do, because I'm in a lot of ways I'm a cultural analyst. Like if you think about watching an NFL football game or Major League Baseball game, you have a play-by-play announcer. That would be Kurt Gowdy. Y'all remember Kurt Gowdy? That would be Chris Schenkel. That would be, I don't know. But then you have the color analysts. And the color analysts are usually a former player who explains the game to you. So Kurt Gowdy calls balls and strikes, and it's 3-2 count, Sims is on second, here's the wind, here's the pitch. That's the play-by-play. And then along comes some Don Drysdale, who's a former pitcher, and after the pitch is thrown, Don Drysdale comes in and says, well, Chris, here's what happened. He delivered that ball a little bit too high. He meant to keep that thing down in there, and instead he got it up in the strike zone a little bit, and the guy whacked it out in center field, and then, boom, next pitch is up, and Kurt Gowdy's back in, right? So I'm the color analyst, okay? I'm the color analyst. I'm not the play-by-play guy. You get that play-by-play everywhere you look. I'm the guy behind the scenes trying to say, here's how he struck him out. See how that curveball, boom, that's what they call a slider. Here's how you hold it, and you throw it, and you snap your wrist. But you don't do a curveball. Curveball, you snap your wrist. A slider, you pull it down like you're pulling a shade. And I'm the guy who explains all that, right? So in reality, I do the same thing every day. Because if we don't understand the nuts and bolts of what's going on, we are not going to do anything about it. And as I said, repetition is the heart of education. So do I say the same thing over and over and over? Yeah. I say the same thing over and over, but I hope at the end of the day, when we're done with today's show, you're going to say, you know what? Coach Dave is right. We got to do something about it. Because if we don't move into action, if this just becomes another Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity talk show, I don't want any part of it. I don't. I put everything I have into getting this show to be. What did I try to do? I try to dig into the truth and try to open the eyes to people that don't see things the way that we see things. You know, like yesterday, we dug into yesterday. See, I forget it after a day, but we really got into it yesterday, didn't we? And we really began to step on some sacred cows and step on your toes about this. And why do you believe this? And why do you see? I think that's healthy. Why would you want to believe something if it's not true? And I always ask two questions. It's what I said to the students when I was at Worthington Kilbourne last week. Ask yourself these two questions: who told me that, and why should I believe them? We should ask ourselves that every time someone says something to you regarding whatever it would be. Who told you that, and why should I believe him? Robert De Niro. Did you see they brought out Robert De Niro? Did you guys all follow that? Robert De Niro. Does anybody know what Robert De Niro did for a living? What did Robert De Niro do to become a multi-billionaire? Anybody know what he did? Come on, what did he do?
Actor.
He acted like somebody else. That's what he did for a living. He played a role that was not him and made millions and millions and millions of dollars. And so they bring this old guy out to tell us how bad Trump is, and we're supposed to believe him because he was in Taxi Driver. See, that's how they manipulate us, folks. And so you turn on your TV and you watch a religious program, whatever it would be. How do you know that guy's telling you the truth? When I can bring in another guy on the same subject and he'll give you a different perspective of it. How do we mess get through all this stuff? And that Satan is the author of confusion. And one of the things that he's trying so hard to do is to confuse us, to keep us from the truth. And if you get mad or butthurt because we say here or I say here, sorry, prove it, people get mad. And I'm trying to think of this old Catholic boy who really was just kind of, I went to catechism. I did it all. I was a good son. By that, I mean, I didn't cause my mom and dad any headaches. I never, ever was unruly. Never, ever. All through high school, I went to church. I went to catechism every Sunday morning. I did it all. And then only have an awakening in my life when I came to know Christ as Savior, being born again, to say, wait a minute, that's not what they told me in church. That's not what they told Mary. For how many years did they fill me with Mary? Wait a minute, the rosary? I'm not making fun of the rosary. I'm trying to get you to think out there. 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys and a glory be and move on. And that somehow that rote repetition is touching the heart of God. And that the Virgin Mary, is like co-redemptress? Really? And so as I began to get into studying it for myself, I saw a lot of stuff. Sorry, that don't make sense. There's only one mediator between man and God, Christ Jesus, not Mary. Now, I'm not beating up on Catholics. If you're out there and you're praying the rosary and you're praying to Mary, okay, go. I'm going to tell you, I dug into it a little bit deeper and said, dude, that's crazy. Sorry, that's crazy. And it makes people mad. And I tell you this, my theology is constantly in flux. But I've been around long enough. I'm 71 years old. I'm a pretty smart guy. I got a master's degree. I got some postmaster. I ain't no dummy. I'm not one of those guys who's running for, they're going to try to nominate on the Supreme Court, and I can't even tell you what a woman is. I know what a woman is. I can tell you what it is, right? So you don't have to have a master's degree or a doctorate to have common sense. And we don't have any common sense, except I'm not sure we have Christian common sense. Or let me say it this way, religious common sense. I'm not sure we have any of that. I really don't. I don't know if there is anything. Can anybody really tell me what is the common doctrine of Christianity? What would it be? If you were to go to somebody and you were to give them the gospel, which I wrote on that today at News with Hughes, and it didn't get posted. I don't know what happened with it. Where do you go when you die, for instance? Where do you go for when you die? Do you have any idea how long of a conversation we could have on that very issue? The levels of heaven, the spiritual realm. Do we know this stuff? No, there's some things we don't know. The most things that we know from a Christian perspective, from a spiritual standpoint, you take by faith. You have to believe it by faith. That's good. It comes down to the people that you've trusted, the people who've taught you this, right? But what if they were wrong? What are those two questions again? Who told you that? And why should I believe them? Who told you that? And why should I believe them? Or you can have a third one. What's their agenda? Who told you that? Why should I believe them? And what's their agenda? What is it that when I go to public school, if I send my grandchildren to public school, which I would, by the way, would never do. If I were to send my grandchildren to public school and the teacher began to teach them evolution, what's the agenda of the teacher? Why would they be teaching that? And I was thinking today, I'm sorry, I'm on a rant. Stay with me a second. You know, the largest, I guess you would call it majority group in America. Do you know who the largest majority group? Now, that's stupid because it goes a thousand different ways. From a philosophical standpoint, let's say, you know what the largest group is in America? The largest philosophical group in America. Anybody know what it is? I'm not going to wait for you to tell me. I'm going to tell you. It's Christians. The majority of people that you come in contact with during the day have some Christian belief. They may not be practicing Christians. They may not understand Christianity. They may not understand the ins and outs and the do's and the don'ts and the whys and the wherefores. May not understand that. But in their own heart and in their own mind, if you put them up against a wall and we're going to give them $1,000 if they got the right answer, and you ask them, what religion are you? The majority of people would say Christian. Are you with me, guys? You with me on that? Because we were born and raised into a Christian culture and a Christian society. So here we are today, the largest people group, and we have no authority anywhere. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You stop and think about it. We are the majority, and we have no authority. In fact, the minority has said to us, sorry, there's a separation between you guys and the rest of us. Sorry, huh? So therefore, you take your belief system and your deeply held religious beliefs, do me a favor, you put it in the pot, put it in your pocket, because your opinion isn't welcome here. And by the way, when they do that, they'll call you an extremist when you're not an extremist. At the very least, abortion, at the very least, it's 50-50. At the very least, it's 50-50 on how people believe whether it should be abortion. Folks, that doesn't make us a minority group. We're not a minority group. Why do we let them treat us like that? Because why? Because we have no organized, cohesive message that the entire church is delivering. Are you with me? You with me? So I love to come in here, and I don't care about you. I love to come in here, and I like to poke holes in arguments because I want people to prove to me that what they believe is true. Who told you that? It's, well, the Bible says it. Yes, it does say that, but that's in context. If you take it out of context, that's not what the Bible says. Hey, judge not, Coach Dave. It's what the Bible says. Judge not. It does say that. It does say that, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. Pull that up there. Judge not. Where is that? Pull it up there. And this is what they do to us constantly.
Who's Matthew they? 7.
Luciferians. What's that? What say, Dale?
Matthew 7.
Do not know. You got that sissy Bible up there. That's that sissy Bible. By the way, I'm starting to have some doubts about the King James. I'll get into that later. Judge not, that you be not judged. Okay, friends, there is a scripture taken out of context. So if I stand up and say a woman who aborts her child should be charged with murder, the defense will say, Coach Dave, judge not. In fact, they don't even finish that first statement. They just say, judge not. Bible tells us we're not supposed to judge. Somebody give me a thumbs up because I know them. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? You understand the people that you go to church with, they stop at judge not. They stop there. It's by design. I'm starting to feel it. Say, there he goes yelling. I hate it when he yells. I get emails about that all the time. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why you behold that mote that's in your brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, behold, there's a beam in your eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam, then cast out it. You see it? Do you see it? So he doesn't say don't judge. He says clean your own self up first, dude. Clean your own. Don't you be talking about people sleeping together outside of marriage if you're doing it. Don't you be doing that, dude. Don't you be doing that. You clean up your own act, and then you have the right to do it. And by the way, we're not judging. We're witnessing. I'm a witness to what you're doing is wrong, dude. Huh? I'm not judging. I don't have the ability to judge it. I'm just telling you the truth, right? And you mean to tell me, you dummy, you don't judge? You don't walk into the grocery store and judge which package of meat you're going to buy? You look at the price and say, man, this one is more expensive. That one. Now, if you don't judge, there's something wrong with you. Yet the entire Christian culture has taught you and me, don't judge. Don't judge. How many times a day, not a day, how often do you think you hear that from other Christians? Especially when you begin to bring these things up. They say, well, Brother Dave, don't judge them. Then you can't judge them. Yes, I can judge them. Yes, I can. I can judge them. I'm told to judge them. right? I'm told to, huh? You first hit, cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote of your brother's eye. So I can't be talking about committing adultery if I'm committing adultery. I can't be condemning lying and stealing when I'm lying and stealing. If I stop lying and stealing, then I have the authority to say, stop it. I did. You stop it. Stop it. That's wrong. See, that's where we got this non-judgmental Christianity. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why the majority of people, I believe the majority of the people in America are still in their own mind, some form of Christian. They're Christian. They don't have any idea what the hell it means. But if they had to, under the threat of death, identify as something, they'd identify as a Christian. So knowing that, then why is the majority belief of all the people totally absent in the public square? I don't know if we have an answer to it. I don't know. That's what frustrates me every day when I come down here, because Michelle's right. It is the same thing over and over. I do feel like a broken record. But when are we going to get it and understand that we are supposed to be expanding a gospel? Thy, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Duh. Duh. Lead us not in temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And I'm going to be your ambassador. And I'm going to go down there. And I'm going to try to teach them to observe all that you've commanded me. And lo, you're going to be with me always, even to the end of the earth. Because I'm the salt of the earth and I'm the light of the world. And when I salt and when I shine, they're going to hate me. And that's okay. Because I'm in a war. And you're in a war. But see, what they told you to do in your wherever you go for your religious training, what they told you to do is we're not supposed to fight. We're supposed to compromise. We're supposed to give in. We're supposed to love. And the devil's sitting over in the corner laughing. He don't even have, he's sitting in his easy chair smoking a cigarette, and we're following him. Because why? We're telling, our own team is telling us the wrong message. I'll calm down here in a minute. How do we as Christian people, how do we put up with being second-class citizens in a nation where we are the majority? Can somebody explain that one to me? That would be like all of us having to be, we're not meat eaters anymore. We all have to be vegetarians because a group of people don't like eating cows. Well, I don't like cows. So, okay, they don't like cows, okay. Well, we're not going to serve any beef then. No beef anywhere because they don't like cows. Well, I remember when I was a kid, some of you remember the same thing. When I went to the indoctrination center called the public school, back then they weren't quite so bad. You know why? On Fridays, ready? Raise your hand. Ready? How many of you on Friday went to the cafeteria and you knew what you were having to eat on Friday? Can somebody tell me what was on the menu of Friday in your public school cafeteria? What was it? Come on, fish. Come on.
Huh? Pizza.
No.
Fish.
Fish sandwiches every Friday. Why? Because 25% at least of the people there were Catholic. Catholic didn't eat fish meat on Friday. So therefore, the school honored that and served fish. Fish sticks. They still doing that today, I wonder? No, they're probably serving transgender pills on Friday now, right? How did this all happen, friends? How did it all happen? Under the watchful eye of God's watchman. Isaiah 56, pull that up for me real quick. I'm sorry, let me get this out of me. My foot's starting to feel better. I think maybe I'm going to be able even to walk 100 yards a day here. Huh? Isaiah 56:10. Here's where we are, boys and girls. His watchmen are blind. What? His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. Anybody know what a dumb dog is? You know what somebody's blind and dumb means? They can't talk. They can't talk. So his watchmen are dumb dogs. They can't even bark. Our leadership can't even bark. They're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And there's shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his own quarter. So let me back up to where I was yesterday, because I think this is important. I pondered long and hard about what we talked about yesterday. A greedy, I got to say it. There are no levels of sin, even though my Catholic faith taught me that there are mortal sins and venial sins. Anybody say amen out there? Mortal sin and a venial sin. Venial sins, they weren't so bad. Those mortal sins, oh, you're in trouble if you had one of those mortal sins. Well, who determined what was a venial sin and what was a mortal sin? What the hell does that, did that mean, right? Is a greedy pastor any less wicked than a sexually confused congregant? Which do you think in the eyes of the Lord is worse, a greedy pastor or profoundly lost congregant? Buddy, you better figure out why, because it says, and we just read it in Matthew, but it's the same measure that you judge, and you're going to be judged by it, baby. Huh? You're going to be judged by it. So that's why a lot of guys won't judge, because they don't want that standard, right? They're greedy dogs that can have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. Can anybody say amen right there? There is the statement of the day. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain, from his quarter. They say, come on, Joel Osteen, I'll fetch wine, and we'll have our best life now. We'll just all have our best life now. Folks, this is unbelievably wicked. And it is at the heart of where we are in the good old US of A. That a guy like me is criticized because I want to stand up and fight. Those greedy pastors ain't gonna have me in there. I might hurt the offering plate. Oh man, how long was that? Boy. So let me take a deep breath here. I see your hand there, Jeff, just a minute. Is JR in here? JR, are you in here? Because we can probably help JR. I don't know if he's in here or not. JR's Natural Family Foundation, Natural Family Month, is pushing hard against, is it the Family Research Council, JR? Is it? I think it is. Trying to get them to pick it up and run with it. Natural Family Foundation, Family Research Council. I think it was one of those. How can we help that? Who should we be calling? Should we be calling? Let's get that action set up, Mel, or whoever it was. We ought to be calling these pro-family groups and say, are you getting on board on this? You getting on board with this? Huh? You, or is this too judgmental for you? Huh? Huh? Are you getting on board with this? We ought to be on the phones bombarding these people with Natural Family. Maybe we'll get back to that. Indian Lake this weekend. I don't know it's not materializing very well, to be honest with you, because short notice it's just tough for people to get away. But I think Pastor Bill's still going. I'll go talk to him today and see what's going on. If you're interested in going there, let me know. Who's going to pray Craig's prayer for us? Boy, have I got some stuff to show you today. Who's going to pray Craig's prayer for us? Anybody? Okay, I will. Remember, where the two or more are gathered, he's with us. The spirit of agreement. Boy, my heart's beating fast. Father in heaven, we glorify your holy name and we honor your son, Jesus of Nazareth. Jeremiah says, the heart of man is evil. We walk in a world of darkness and only finding the truth in your light, your word, and the teachings of the Holy Spirit. As evil men have crept in and want to reestablish a new world order, which is just a rewrite of the old world order, being the Tower of Babel and the spirit of Nimrod. The arm of the spirit of Antichrist, the United Nations, via the World Health Organization, and their meeting between May 27th and June 1st to establish the pandemic agreement that will be used to usurp the sovereignty of countries from around the world. And as COVID was used to shut down the church and cause harm amongst the people, the plans are being proposed for the next world pandemic to grab the power over humanity with evil intent in mind. We ask you, Father, that you send your mighty warring angels over Geneva, Switzerland, where those fools are meeting. And we bring confusion, discord, jealousy, infighting amongst themselves. We bind the spirits and agents of evil to loose communications connections to all those evil puppet masters that are in charge, Bill Gates and the whole slot of them, and the secret societies and groups around the world who worship Lucifer and fallen. Father, we ask just as 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 says, when the king of Syria made plans to war against Israel, you empowered Elijah to reveal all evil intents of the kings of Syria to the king of Israel, and he was able to outwit his opponent. May the WHO and those who work with ill intent say the very same thing about the WHO pandemic agreement as it falls apart in the days and the weeks ahead. Yes, Lord, bring it down. Just as the king of Syria was troubled and frustrated, may the WHO say the very same thing, calling upon his cohorts and saying to them, will you not show me which of us is leaking our plans? Lord, leaks. Let leaks come out of there, Lord. Let them be brought to confusion, Lord, what they're doing. May the information be so devastating and broadcast far and wide that people become outraged and rising up against it, exposing the agenda-driven policy of the evildoers to use against your body of believers and the humanity in general. We thank you, Father, in advance that you hear the prayers of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked. Yes, the Lord is far from the wicked. But he hears the prayer of the righteous. We ask the Father in his precious name, your son, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Huh? Can you ever seen anything like it? It's like I see it happen in a house. You guys have all seen this. In homes where the kids run the home. Anybody seen that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Going to a house where the children run the house, parents don't run the house. Huh? That's the American society. This great country that God gave us, the children are running it. The children are running it. And the adults are sitting around and say, well, what's going on? Well, what's going on? We need to do something about it. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. I got to move on. I got some good stuff. Go ahead, Jeff, quickly.
Coach, your Matthew and Isaiah verses hit it right on the head. 14 years at that strip club every weekend. And that's what all the Christians and the pastors preach messages. Well, them guys shouldn't be at that strip club.
That's right.
They just ripped us. We probably heard that over 1,000 times.
Yep.
We shouldn't be judging. Then they get a guy up there. He's all drunked up. He's just cussing the preacher at the back of the strip club, cussing him out. Yep. And I'd hear him yell. He's like, JC, come here. I knew what he wanted. He'd get up there. He'd say, here, you talk to this guy. He was in the same boat you was, because I was on a bar stool 8 hours a day, then driving the rage drunk. So I can judge that guy at that point. Yeah, it's crazy, but that's what we always heard. That was the number one response. You're right on it. And also, a side note, the CDC is calling people on their cell phones.
Yep, that's right. That's right. CDC is calling people on their cell phones. Hey, folks, don't talk to them. Jeff said, I don't want to talk to them. Look, they're seeking for information, man. They're trying to find information on you. I wouldn't answer. Because remember this, anytime you get a robocall, somebody's getting paid about $10 an hour to make that robocall. They got a list in front of them, and they're asking questions on a robo. You're not going to convince that person. They don't care. They just want to get on they want to do the survey and get on the next one. I don't do robocalls. You can if you want to. I don't do them. Bless you, Jeff. I got to move on. Craig.
The whole fallacy about judging, Coach, is a judge doesn't make law. He does what? He applies the law. So what's John Diamond tell us about Jesus? King, lawgiver, judge, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
If he's given us the law, hey, homosexuality is bad. There's nothing good in the Bible that affirms that. You're not judging. Christ has already judged. He's already made the judgment. You're just telling them what the law is.
This is wrong.
This is
your witness. You're a witness to the truth, man.
You're not making the laws up. We don't make the laws up. We're telling them what the laws are according to God, who defines righteousness. When God says this is righteous, it's righteous. When this is unrighteous, this is unrighteous.
Period. We're his messengers, brother. We're his messengers. And they're going to hate you. That's the promise. You're going to be hated of all men. Okay, now I'm going to show you a couple things, and I got something I want to read to you. Bring up for me number four, Spencer. Here's what, hey folks, I saw this again. It pissed me off. Am I allowed to say that? Huh? Look at that. Can you guys see that map? There are no blue states. There are none. No blue states. Just 15 to 20 big blue cities trying to tell the rest of us how to live. Look at that. Is that profound there, friends? Is that profound? And you know what else we know? We don't know how those people are voting in those big cities, do we? We don't really have, we have no control of the vote and what's going on. And who's, see, they're really upset because Harlem is turning red. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. The inner cities, they're tired. You know what the inner cities are? They're tired of the Mexicans coming in. You don't hear anybody calling them racist, do you? You don't hear anybody calling those blacks racist because they don't want the Hispanics, the illegal immigrants, right? Look, all look at that, folks. See, so we got to understand what's going on here. And you know what's going on? For the most part, those in the red are silent. They're afraid to judge. They're afraid they're going to be called names. Don't judge me. Don't judge me, right? So there we are. Here's what you want to see. What else I want to show you here? A couple things. Oh, yeah, this is point number five. Pull up number five. Here's how I know we're winning. Here's how I know we're winning. Look at that. That's Al Sharpton and Hillary. Hillary looks old, which she is, and Al Sharpton's lost about 90 pounds. He must have some type of disease. Hey, folks, these were their icons 20 years ago. They're going to die soon. They're going to die. They're dying off. Huh? They're dying off. That's why it's important. Now, I don't think it's photoshopped. That's why I think it's important that we move forward and begin to awaken the next generation. We cannot sit on our heels and allow these bums to remain in charge. One more thing. Let me see. What did I want? Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Let me give you some encouragement here. Pull up number nine real quick. Number nine. Pull up number nine. Listen to this, folks. You want to get your batteries recharged? Want to get your batteries recharged? Listen to this. Go ahead. How to charge your batteries. How to charge your body's battery. Are you listening? Because this is some good advice for you. Go ahead.
Battery packs in the human body. On one side, it's how many electrons are we putting in? And there are a lot of electron donors. Electron donors can be getting out in the sun, can be walking barefoot in the grass. It can be leaning up your body up against a tree because the tree has electrons and will donate them to you. Hugging an animal, a common way that makes people in nursing homes feel better is to buy them a dog or a cat. They hold the dog or the cat and get electrons from it. The animal runs outside and recharges itself and brings some back to you. Moving water in is an electron donor, whereas still water tends to be an electron stealer. Moving air is an electron stealer. That's why when you ride in a convertible, you look really cool, but you're always tired when you get there because the wind steals electrons from you. On one hand, we look at what things can put electrons in the body and then what things steal them. And again, the most common stealers are dental infections, emotional baggage, various toxins, particularly the toxins that we are getting from things like GMO foods and pesticides and other kinds of things, air pollution. There's a lot of toxins around us. And of course, one can almost include in the concept emotional baggage. They're toxins in a different way in that they rob us of voltage that we should be using for something else.
Recharge your batteries. Get outside. Walk barefoot. Hug a tree. Huh? It's because, yeah, Paul, cells in the body gets, it's like a jumper cable, folks. It's like a jumper cable. Now, I'm going to go someplace real quick because I just heard from the Holy Spirit. I had this conversation with Michelle and I. We were pillow talk last night before I went to sleep. And I was kind of replaying in my own mind yesterday when I was talking about legalism and all that kind of stuff. Folks, listen, we have to understand this. Every one of God's laws are protective. He didn't say, don't lie because it's a violation against God. Well, that's true. And they said to him, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your neighbors yourself. So he said, don't steal because it harms somebody. He said, don't lie because it harms somebody. He said, don't covet because it ends up harming somebody else or yourself. All of his laws are protective. And so if you follow the laws, a lot of your problems are going to go away. But if you don't follow the laws, it doesn't mean you're damned for hell. If you've been saved, if I'm saved and I'm saved and I worship on Sunday, I don't think it's a salvation issue, but it could be a health issue. It could be doing it on the wrong day. That could be a possibility, but it's not going to keep me from going to heaven. Look, I he said, don't eat shellfish, Dale. Sorry. But you can eat them. You can. Go ahead. You're allowed to eat them. You're not going to go to hell if you eat a shellfish. But he said, don't do that because maybe there's something in there. It's like, remember, if we look at his laws as protective, if you look at yourself as a child of God, you are his child. The rules that he would give you is because he loves you and he wants to protect you. How many of you say to your own children or grandchildren, hey, don't eat that mud? Well, do you want them to not eat the mud because you want them to obey you? Or do you want them to not eat the mud because it's going to make them sick? Which is it? So when God says to you, hey, keep the Sabbath, he doesn't want you to get sick. When he says to you, hey, to follow the feast days, he's not up there marking, oh, he missed that feast day. He said, dude, you're getting sick. You're going to get sick because you're not doing it. You understand? And until we understand that his laws are protective, not punishment, we're not going to expand the kingdom. Why did he say don't lie? Because it hurts somebody. It hurts somebody. Love your neighbors yourself. Do unto others. Why? Because there are consequences from it. Are they electrical? I don't know. I don't know. What did he say? Drinking bottled water? You'd be a lot better drinking one bottle of water out of the spring over here than 1,000 bottles of water put in a water bottle. He gives us these things for our own protection. And see, we're like young kids in that, well, you go, tell me what to do. You tell me what, well, okay, dummy, go ahead and do that. You tell your 16-year-old kid, don't drive 80. They drive 80. Something happens. Well, that was the consequences of not doing what you told them to do. Doesn't keep them out of heaven, I don't think. That's a whole different discussion, and I don't want to get back into it. Because I know I made some of you mad yesterday talking about whether or not a homosexual ought to be baptized. Still don't know. I'm not afraid to talk about it. No, I don't think God approves of homosexuality. No, I don't. And that's a whole different debate. Well, if you would all look around at the numbers of what do they call that, habitual sins that you carry with you every day. Somebody say amen. So I know I got one friend out there. Habitual sins that you carry with you every day. Greed, malice, anger, bitterness, all those things. You carry amen. Those things. You could be saved as a rock, baby. You are saved as saved can be. And you're still struggling with those what? Those fleshly sins, man. Because, see, you have a sin nature. And even though you've been born again of God, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Overcoming the carnal man and the carnal nature is unbelievably difficult. It can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. But just because you get born again doesn't mean you're free from sin, baby. That thing is there every day. The best of us sin. By the way, I don't call myself a sinner. I don't ever tell anybody again that I'm just a sinner saved by grace, because I ain't. I used to be, and not anymore. I ain't no sinner saved by grace anymore. I'm a child of the King, baby. You'll never hear that come out of my mouth. Not that I'm better than anybody else, but I know that, as Tim Tuber would tell us, that righteousness was imputed to me. Imputed. Imputed. Johnny, there's a good word. Is it John? I forget who it was. Imputed. Go to Webster. Impute. Impute. To impute. You can find this in the scripture. Charged to the account of, attributed, ascribed. See, when you get saved again, it ain't anything that you did other than God imputed righteousness. He stamped you, boom, righteous. Boom! He stamped you righteous. And nobody can do anything about that. To charge, to attribute, to set to the account of. So when righteousness was imputed to you in Romans 4:8, there ain't nothing you can do about it. That is who you are. You are righteous. Why? Because it's the stamp he imputed on you. Wow. I see what Tim's saying. This is so, I'm really kind of rambling here. They don't mean to do it. Of course, we stand under the righteousness of the shadow of Christ on that cross. One more thing. I got to show you this. Pull up number 2, and then I'm going to open it. I'm sorry, it's been 40 minutes. Thanks for giving me the grace to ramble on here today. Jason Storms, is he took over Operation Save America. It was Flip Benham. It was Randall Terry. Then it was Flip Benham. And then it was Rusty Thomas. And now he's handed off to Jason Storms, who, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Jason Storms is the son-in-law of Matt Truella. Matt Truella. Jason Storms married Pastor Matt Truella's daughter. I think they have 10 kids, 11 kids, something unbelievable. And Jason...
11.
11, thank you. Jason is now the head of Operation Save America. He's now the leader of it. And folks, this is the big time. This is NBC News. Around the world, listen to Jason Storm defend the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is so great. Go ahead.
The overturning of Roe v. Wade didn't end the battle over abortion access. It just ignited another fierce round of fighting. And the issue remains front and center as the country heads into the 2024 elections. At the state level, the fight is the grittiest.
Is it murder?
Absolutely.
This is Jason Storms, director of Operation Save America, who publicly advocates extreme positions on a number of issues.
Hang on. What makes them extreme positions? They're not extreme positions, folks. These are the positions of at least 50% of America. They're not extreme positions. Go ahead.
What's going on right here?
So we're talking about the very real possible reality that we have to take up arms against our own tyrannical government, and are we prepared to do it and win?
With OSA, he travels around the country to lobby for legislation that could put women in jail, or worse, for getting an abortion.
You are intentionally killing a human being. That is the definition of murder.
Should that person be charged and convicted for murder?
Absolutely.
Prison for life?
Well, whatever the laws are for killing an innocent person, yeah.
In some places, that's the death penalty.
Absolutely.
National level, OSA's message is a potential thorn in Republican side at a time when some in the party are concerned the abortion issue is bad politics, even moderating their positions as elections get closer.
A full ban on abortion is not where the people are.
It's way more extreme than what Arizona
is. Freeze it. Hey, folks, you better hear this. Where the people are is not an indication of right and wrong. You get that? Where the people are. She just says, well, a full ban, that's not where the people are. Well, who gives a? We know the people aren't there. We know where the Lord is, though. We know what his standard is. And if we're going to give people what they want, that's not where they are. You got the blind leading the blind. Keep going.
Storms has found support at the state level, and he's pushing to get more.
Are there politicians who you have helped get elected who are fighting your cause?
Yes.
We have legislative efforts going in 18 different states on the ground. We mobilize hundreds of people.
There have been more than two dozen bills introduced in states around the country in the last 2 years that would open the door for a woman to be investigated and even prosecuted.
Now we've had Good. 14 states presently that have banned abortion. And so while that is a step in the right direction to put abortion under our homicide statutes, it's illegal for a doctor to perform an abortion in 14 states. But in all those states, the mothers are explicitly exempted from any punishment or any legal accountability.
And you don't think that should be the case?
Not at all.
Operation Rescue.
OSA is the rebranded version of Operation Rescue, active in the 1980s. In the following decade, tensions over the abortion issue ran high, and doctors were even killed. Neither Operation Rescue nor OSA were ever involved in
Hang on. Do you understand how they're trying to make it look like Operation Save America killed doctors? You see how they slip that stuff in? Then they say, well, they didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yeah. Wonder how many babies are killed. Huh? Wonder how many children are killed. Wonder how many, you get it right? Go ahead.
Clinic operators, says Storms. Crazy. Now, a handful of people connected with OSA have been convicted of violating the FACE Act, which outlaws obstructing women's access to clinics, and they are awaiting sentencing.
Well, I'm looking at 22 years in federal prison. That's what I'm looking at. I wish I could have done more pro-life ministry, and I have zero regrets.
Yeah, meetings were good. Very productive.
In Ohio, Storms brought his followers and his family to the state capitol, including several of his 11 children, to lobby lawmakers.
Keep up the good fight.
He had meetings with at least three state representatives. Last November, Ohio passed a constitutional amendment protecting abortion access up to 22 weeks. One of the lawmakers behind it, State Representative Anita Somani, an OBGYN.
If you look at the statistics for last November, 57% of people in Ohio voted for the constitutional amendment protecting the right to abortion. That is not a minority. That is a majority of people.
Storms told us he's in Ohio because he believes the Republican Party failed in mobilizing the anti-abortion vote.
The Republican Party did not put the money and the resources into this fight in the way that the Democratic Party did to win here.
Do you think there's a possibility that a majority of people in this state just simply don't agree with you, Jason?
That's certainly possible, of course. But this is a very red state. Donald Trump won huge in this state. And pro-life people dominate all aspects of state government here.
Hey, guys, we're going to round everybody up here and pray.
From the Capitol building in Columbus, OSA drove to Cincinnati and showed up at Planned Parenthood.
And there will be consequence to shedding of innocent blood.
The right to walk down the sidewalk. Y'all can't block the sidewalks. You got to let people walk down the sidewalk.
The group protested at two clinics in the area, including this one in Dayton.
You're a father. Whether you want to be or not, you already are a father.
We did not film the multiple women who walked inside.
There have been times when it gets loud, when there's a bit of shouting. Does it become intimidation?
On our part?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so, no. I mean, that's counterproductive to what we're trying to accomplish.
How about harassment?
Of course not, no.
But later that afternoon, we caught up with one of the clinic's doctors.
Did anyone come in today and say, God, that was really hard coming in here?
Multiple people said it was a really hard thing to
come
in today.
Good, we ought to make it hard.
Feel like they were harassed and intimidated today.
Yes.
So do we pray that souls Amen. Will come to know you today?
Storm says it's important not just to pressure the women who are going in to get abortions, but also try to convince young people on college campuses and even at high schools.
Planned Parenthood is feeding propaganda to these kids. We're trying to counter that message.
But what matters most, he says, is pressuring the politicians who are running for office. And at the top of his list is Donald Trump.
We're pressuring Donald Trump right now. And a lot of us are threatening to withhold our votes from him and saying, you're not going to get our vote if you're not going to stand strong in defense of preborn children.
But if he does not, will you stay home?
Yes.
You won't vote that day.
Well, I'll vote for a third party.
He says he doesn't believe Trump is going far enough. All the presumptive nominee has said is it's in the state's hands.
The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land.
Storms voted for Donald Trump in 2020, even showing up at the rally outside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
We're at the Capitol.
Going to run out of time. You get it, folks? Do you see what we're up against? See, can I tell you the truth? See, our own pastors don't agree with Jason Storms. They don't agree with him. They don't support Operation Save America. They would call it radical and judgmental. You know all the buzzwords, right? Folks, that's coming out of the mouth of pastors standing in the pulpits. They're killing babies. They're killing babies. And we want to vote for the right to kill babies? And you tell me that this media isn't biased? Holy smoke. This ought to be a commercial for it. Listen to the language the reporter uses. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. You know, here's what's happening in the state of Ohio. We have more people coming in for abortions now because of that legislation, that vote that was passed. Created Equal now has a mobile ultrasound pregnancy test mobile that they've deployed to Cincinnati, for the reason being that women are coming in from Indiana and Kentucky to have abortions in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. You know, God bless Jason Storm. You know, I'm trying to get a men's conference at the church that I currently attend. He's one of the speakers that I've recommended.
Yeah, but they don't want him.
Well, you know, I'm pushing.
Amen. Keep pushing, brother. Keep pushing, Glenn. Folks, remember, look at me. We're the majority. We have Christians voting for baby killers, Democrats. We got Christians voting for that. That shows the confusion, right? That's how the enemy operates, through confusion, lies, deception, and fear. Roger. You home there, Roger? We can't hear you. We can't hear you. I see you driving. There you go.
I'm here. I wanted the cue to understand that some of us do go to work, so I'm driving here. It's you guys and gals that are all retired, enjoying life. I'm just jealous, so I'm driving. But you know, I think about the sermons that I've heard over the years on abortion, and it usually emphasizes the women. We don't want to hurt you. We understand it's okay. Right. That, you know, we know you're feeling bad. They're always worried about the woman who killed the baby.
As if a child is a burden and not a blessing, right,
yeah,
Roger?
Well, and just, you know, we understand the pain and all of this before they even get involved in the discussion of killing a child, or, you know, right. These are hard decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
We know you were in a difficult spot. It's like laying the foundation. There's never any fear put out there.
No.
You know. Now, they'll usually end with the healing takes place with Christ, and I agree with that. But a lot of the discussion, and I've sat through probably 10 of these over the years, it was a tough decision. We don't want you to feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Life is important. We all know that. But we know you were put in a set of, listen, one, you need to own that you killed a human being. Own
Amen,
it.
Baby.
Two,
Amen.
There is healing. There is healing, but it is through Christ on the cross. There is healing.
Roger, in a court of law, Roger, the one who pulls the trigger isn't a victim, are they?
No.
All right.
No. They are not. They're held accountable for their actions. So I don't know what that accountability should look like. I kind of have an idea. But very seldom, I don't think I've ever heard the firmness of you took a life.
Amen.
Own it. God can heal you through this. It's always trying to help the mom and make her feel okay about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 6% of the sermon usually.
Okay, so folks, here it is. Don't ever forget this, okay? If they make the abortion decision about the woman wins. If they make the discussion about the baby wins. And ask yourself right now, what argument are they all making? Is anybody arguing for the baby other than Jason Storms and folks like that? Or is everybody making the focus on the woman and her right to choose? Trent.
Yeah, Coach, a state cannot make a right to murder a human being.
Cannot. So they call it a non-human, right? Same thing they did with Everson versus, I'm sorry, I get it all right, with slavery. Same thing.
Right.
Blacks aren't human beings. They're not human beings. Sorry, man, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, Jack, that was it. That was it. Go ahead.
Thanks. Keep them short. We only got 7 minutes. Go, Jack.
Yeah, I just, as you were playing that clip, I realized that we have allowed the majority, a simple majority, to execute babies. It's
That's
not
right.
a super majority, and it's not right. unanimous. If you, in a court of law, Roger, you have to have a unanimous verdict to be able to murder, to execute someone. You can't do it on six of the 11
That's
jurors.
Right.
You can't do it.
That's
it
right.
doesn't work that way.
It's all of them.
We've lost those parameters.
Amen. We have individual choice. Look, at least half of the people think a baby ought to be able to live. And if we really educated them on the pre-born child and all that stuff, it'd be 90%. But they lie. They tell us lies about it, right? Randy.
Coach, I hope I can say this right. Any state that says by its law that a woman, if you kill a woman who's pregnant or kill that child by negligence or drunk driving or whatever, you're charged with murder or murder two or whatever degree. If that same state, Coach, is in hypocrisy to the law, the legislators in those states that have that law on the books are breaking the law if they vote for any legislation that kills an unborn child.
Amen. Amen.
So we should be targeting the legislatures with litigation or whatever and or criminal activity and saying, if you vote yes for any kind of pro-abortion law, you are breaking your own state law. You will be arrested.
Amen.
I think we have to start pushing from that point of view, Coach.
That's where we have to go with it. James, come on in.
Yes, how you doing, brother?
Good.
Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual places, wickedness in high places. It's time to the church to realize the power we have in God to take down these strongholds of Baal and Moloch and Astaroth, of all the sexual stuff that is in this country. It's all interconnected to these Baal and Moloch and Astaroth. Jonathan Cahn, the Return of the Gods, he brings this out. This is how we take a stand against it.
So the American church has gone from occupation. The focus has gone from occupation to evacuation. We're not of this world. We're out of here, boys. That's it. Thanks, James. Dr. Paul.
You know my views on all this, right, Coach? I think the biggest and the brightest, both lawyers and doctors, that education, you kind of wonder if the curriculum is held by Lucifer himself in each one of these schools. Because, you know, let's face it, these are smart people. And if it wasn't for them, the doctors doing the killing. And by the way, remember the pharmacists, man. It's almost 50-50 here, guys. But those medications.
Oh, boy.
Killing babies months down the road, guys. That after pill is taken a month after. Okay, so I'm just saying, it's Lucifer.
Amen. See the serpent, see the one. Laura Ann, quickly.
When I had my abortion, the doctors told me that it was just like, for me, it was like a blood clot. And I didn't know that. Right. And like, but this is the other part of it. It wasn't that I was trying to release. I was a good Catholic girl that wound up pregnant. And there's a backstory to it. And I take responsibility for it. But the other thing I think that would make a huge impact is that not only should it have to be the mother, and start calling it what it is, call the mother in with the abortion, but bring the dads in too, instead of letting them escape and say, okay, well, you get to pay for it, like my child's father did, paid for it, paid for the execution, you know, and then there's two people accountable for it, the father and the mother.
Listen, Laura Ann, the women have gone for my body, my choice. I say let them own it. I get what you're saying, right? Let them eat the fruit that they planted. That's what I say. I understand totally what you're saying. And yes, men are responsibility. But this is what Women's Lib has given American women. Let them eat it.
Well, yeah, there's like for me, I haven't gone a day without a consequence from it.
Right.
You know, it's not that I wanted to. You know, it's the way it gets presented and whatever. And when you're desperate and you're scared, instead of it being, you're being beaten up about it, because I beat myself up every single day about it, I'm forgiven.
I want to move on because I got to get this thought out there, folks. How come the pro-life movement, whatever the heck that means, how come we're not getting women suing doctors for telling them a lie about the baby? They told them it was a blob of tissue. We know that's not a blob of tissue. Isn't there some medical malpractice there at some point? Why can't our side become creative in the legal arguments that we make? So, I mean, somebody explain it. Quickly, Dale.
Hallelujah, Coach. I pray, you know, all them people that are leaving California, going to Texas and Florida, please don't come to Louisiana. We got some good laws happening. Governor just signed that bill Tuesday. Signed it Tuesday. It's now going to be effective October 1st. You get caught with that Misophil stuff or the other one, and you will face a $10,000 fine and 5 years in prison.
That's what that 9th and 10th Amendment is about. And it's state sovereignty, the right of the state to say, we're not going to kill babies here. Sorry, we don't agree with that. We're going to move in a different direction here in Louisiana, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. What a time to be alive, folks. And we cannot watch this battle rage by remaining on the sidelines, worrying about whose feelings we hurt. See you tomorrow.